This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is iFanboy Pick of the Week number 762, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you who are wearing their masks and washing their hands and being good folk still after all of this time. Welcome back. Welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week. This is episode 762 in our 16th year of doing this show. Like, if somebody stopped you on the street and said, how long have podcasts been around? Would you say about 16 years?
That's about right.
Yeah, but I'd be
if
like...
If you had a baby the year we did this show, they'd be driving now.
Yeah, well...
That's a fun game we can start playing.
Well, I play that with former writer Jimski all the time. Where I remember very clearly talking about the fact that he'd had a baby on our show, and now that child is no longer a baby in any sense of the word.
Well, not on the show. That would have been awesome if it had happened on the show.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's a comma issue going on there. I'm Josh Flanagan. I'm here with ConocoPatrick.
That was
what we like to refer to in the business as pre-show banter. We are iFanboy. We know business. We know showbiz terms like pre-show banter.
We know business.
I know one thing that Connor and I don't know is business. We'd be much more successful otherwise.
I'm good at business.
We read our stack of comics. You got to move units. That's what I know. We read our stack of comics.
Textiles.
One of us picks the one they liked best. We call that the pick of the week. We talk about the book. We talk about other books. We will have a patron pick. That is the thing that happens. We answer listener mail if we have time. And as you can see, it's already fun for us. There will be spoilers about the books that we have read, so if you haven't, that's your problem. Connor, you had the pick, the first pick of this new decade. Is this a new decade? What was the decade last year?
There's always the technical answer, and then there's the proper answer, and I think this is, I mean, for me, when the number changes, it's a new decade, but whatever, I don't really care.
Right, because 10 seems like the end, not the beginning. Yeah. Right.
So, you know, we just had a couple of weeks off, as we always do in the holidays, and it's great because we don't like to complain about this. It's a lot of fun, but it can be a little bit of a grind, so it's good to take a couple of weeks off. I don't know about you, Josh, it recharges the batteries. I get excited about reading comics again, which I'm always excited about, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, you take some time off and you get excited about doing the show again.
Not having to edit or think about editing a podcast program.
Right. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, we get a couple weeks off to get real excited about coming back. And comics did not hold up their end of the bargain.
Can I just say, you know, as a guy who hasn't been on the show in a little while, and you might think you'd be a little rusty, that was a beautiful piece of work you just did.
I moved during the break, which we, you know.
He means he moved house.
Right, so
it doesn't mean that normally he's entirely stationary.
Yeah, I just sit very, very still like a sniper. So normally during the break, I'll keep up with book reading. I'll read a little bit here and there. I won't read them all in one go like I do for the show, but I'll read them throughout the week. I still have like 40 or 50 books I need to read.
Wow.
Because I didn't have time. I was busy moving. So this was the first week where I really sort of read books, and no, there was a couple of enjoyable things, but for the most part, I was like, you know what? It would have been nice to come back to a week that was just awesome. And I had a hard time picking, as opposed to having a hard time picking for the opposite reason. But I ended up picking Injustice, Year Zero, number 14, Roll Your Eyes, story by Tom Taylor, art by Roge Antonio. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Those are the accents on the word that I'm not even clear about.
Rain Barreto, Russ Abbott. This is the final issue of Injustice Year Zero. And I guess it's so popular that we're going into Injustice Year One.
That was a question I had, because the
name was Injustice.
Well, the name of the first collection is Injustice Year One. So that might be a little cheeky thing. Or when they put this into a collection or whatever.
Oh, maybe that's thing. Maybe that is that.
Because I've already read that, so I'm good.
So I don't know.
A year two and a year three.
So maybe it is. Maybe there's no more. See, this is me not having read it. It says next. See, the next is what? Well, maybe that's true. Maybe that's just what it is.
I mean, if you're maybe talking just, about an item that is supposed to be evergreen, then...
Right. You're right. You're right. Mm. Well, there you go. Then I was wrong. See, we've already learning things on the show 5 minutes in. Anyway, this is the prequel. And what I liked about it, you know, aside from the things we always like about Tom Taylor's work in these Injustice and Deceased books, the great characterization, the great classic characters, is that it subverted my expectations. You know, I went into this thinking it was going to be this awful massacre of these characters that I loved. And we did lose a couple of JSA members throughout the course of this 14 issues. But I really sort of winced opening this, because I thought, we're going to go in here and the Joker's going to kill everybody, but that didn't happen. So it was actually really nice. It ends on a really nice, hopeful note. And as someone who hasn't read Injustice, I have a vague sense of where it goes from here. But for me, it ended on a really nice, happy note. I was like, oh, okay, everyone's, you know, they beat the Joker, and the JSA escapes to the multiverse to go find their missing friends who the Joker zapped away. And, you know, Superman overcame the mind control, and it was great. I was really happy when it finished. I was like, oh, that was nice. You know,
I have one question. What does Tom Taylor have against Black Canary? Because in every one of these stories, like she goes through a rough time in all of them. First, like her husband, and then in this one, it's her mother. It's just bad stuff.
Right. I mean, there was a rough, you know, not rough, but there was a, you know, he did attack the satellite, a couple of them, including the original Black Canary, got killed. But for the most part, your core team's still around, and I guess Black Canary and Green Arrow go with them to the multiverse. So, according to the silhouettes that are in that bubble.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, the art, Roge,
that little, could be Roger, like he's almost Roger.
Mm-hmm.
While we talk, I'm going to look up what that little symbol is. It's the little pointy hat on top of the E.
Yeah, he's great. It's very reminiscent of Trevor Harrison's Deceased work. It's a little hard-edged, but... great storytelling. There's a terrific sequence here where, you know, Superman's doing the fight, you know, mentally fighting the Joker's mind control here, and he's sort of a caged monster, and he fights it back, and Batman's narrating it for the Joker, which must have been very satisfying for him, you know. And there's a great page turn where Superman takes the amulet and Batman says he's Superman. And it was just great moments in a final issue like this that you want, where the heroes win, even if they're doomed to lose, I guess. But for this moment in time, they're great. And then Harley and Joker have a nice reunion, because, again, Harley Quinn is an awful monster.
Yes. Yeah.
Despite what DC wants us to believe. So,
But in the same token, Poison Ivy is the best kind of friend she could have.
Right. Absolutely.
Little
and I mean, look, these are short issues. These are half issues. So there's not a ton to go into here. But In terms of books that made me happy this week, there were not very many, and this was the one that made me the most happy. It's just one of those weeks.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth on whether I think you should read further.
Like, well, I've downloaded the collection. I've had it on my iPad.
Yeah, I know, and it's one of like a lot of the strengths that these books have, that book has as well. But there's one. I mean, do you know the basic conceit?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's hero versus hero.
Yeah.
You know, it's Batman versus Superman, right?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And it makes you take a leap on the idea of Superman.
Right. I mean, I know here, I mean, again, spoilers for the book I haven't read, but I know that Joker kills Lois, right? And then,
I mean, that's like page two.
And then, you know, turns Superman, whatever happens. And he ends up, I know the conceit of the game is,
yes,
is that. So I know it looks horrible.
And after that, you know, it's those same things that we liked about the writing of the other things that he's written. You know, like, it's just like an absolute lock on who the characters are, you know, in that same way that, you know, when we read or talk about New Frontier, it's like, oh, Darwin Cook completely gets who these characters are, and it's through the lens of that time frame that was done in there. But this is, again, the same kind of deal. I mean, I think
I'm not against reading it.
I think if I was going to make predictions or be vague about things, I would guess that you should probably read this for a program that we would do.
Well, here's the thing. My plan, again, I actually didn't know I was moving until like right before we broke. So my plan had been to keep up with my books and also read the Injustice collections, because it's gigantic. It's like 400 pages. But again, none of that happened. So
yeah. I'm not so behind on my comics. I sort of dipped in here and there. I got a little tiny stack of them, but it wasn't a lot of comics didn't come out. That's what I
read the ones that were required to be read for this week's books.
Yeah,
that was it.
That's good.
And that was it. So that was that was the pick. It was fun. It was uplifting. There was a great Superman moment. There was a great JSA moment at the end. I like Harley and Joker together. The art's terrific. This is a culmination of a nice series. And again, I think at the end of the day, the pick was because I literally opened this book expecting carnage and I got hope in a week where there wasn't a lot of it.
No.
I
think
you
could read this on its own. I think that if you were to decide that wanted the story to end right here, you would be
100%.
Cool. You could, like, would be the movie. That would be you'd be fine. And then, you know, at the end, they go off to find Han Solo and you can move along if you want to or not.
That's the other thing, is this week was so terrible and smack dab in the middle of comics reading that a book that made me feel good was like, all right.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder, when you said comics didn't hold up their end of the bargain, I'm wondering, could they have? Because, you know, Wednesday was the bad day.
Well, I read all the DC books on Tuesday. Oh, so. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't. And like that night, I was like, man, I don't want to read comics tonight. And I kept hoping that I would get to something that, you know, made me think, oh, God, this is much better. But honestly, it didn't really happen. It was a very blah week of comics. I don't think that was fully
it was the comics. And look, there were things I enjoyed, like Iron Man number 5, Christopher Cantwell, Cafu, Frank Darmada, Joe Caramagna. This was another great issue. And I think, you know, it feels like every year we get like a new writer that we just love what they do. And, you know, Tom Taylor was the last one. I think Christopher Cantwell is the new one. But, you know, this issue was fun. It was funny. It was exciting. There was interesting character stuff. For some bizarre reason, I really love Iron Man and Hellcat as a couple. I also really like this Iron Man suit. Well, and
got all messed up, but yeah.
It's all working for me.
Yeah, you know? It's a weird
I don't
little
like,
thing.
Korvac is weird. I don't understand enough about Korvac to really get all the nuance
I just read him as Joe McMillan. It's 100, like, if you watched Halt and Catch Fire, you can totally do that. You can do that in a lot of these books if you just go, okay, we'll take, oh, there's your Joe McMillan of this. And this is not a problem. I'm not complaining.
But oh, no, I just don't know enough about him as, like, I know he's a classic Marvel villain, Korvac, the Korvac saga.
Yeah. Haven't read it, though, have you?
It's just a little bit out of my realm of having read comics for 40 years, but it doesn't really matter because the characters don't
care. Like,
and I think the art's terrific.
I did like what happened at the end, you know, where basically when they talk, it's, you know, like, what makes you think you're right? Why would you possibly think that you're smarter than me, who's a brilliant supercomputer robot, you know? Right. It's about, you know, your conceit that you, you know, if you have this kind of confidence like Tony Stark has, you know, where does that come from? Why are you so sure about it? And I think that those are really interesting questions to ask for a person who has a lot of power and a lot of ability, especially right. as they start to get very full of themselves. And if this arc is like, I'm moving back to New York or moving to New York, I'm keeping it, you know, I'm keeping it low key. I'm going to learn about myself. I'm going to take shit from Hellcat. You know, it's a good position to put him in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if we have had a show since I put out the Christopher Cantwell Talksplode.
No, we haven't. That was grand.
But, you know, that conversation, it hasn't made me enjoy the books any more or less, but it gives me some context. Like, this is a guy who, if you haven't listened to it, like, this is a guy who loves comics. You know, and it's that question like, well, geez, how does somebody make the transition from doing, you know, television and stuff like that into doing really good comics right away? You know, right. And I think that he kind of answers that conversation, kind of answers that question. And, you know, they're really good comics. And I mean that in terms of like, they're compelling, the character stuff is great, yes. but also like technically they do not have the rookie mistakes.
No.
And you know, he's doing ongoing series for God's sakes. It's impressive.
Several.
Okay. There's my tiny little hiccup here is, Misty Knight seemed out of place in this.
Well, yeah. So Iron Man gathers a ragtag group of heroes to help him fight Korvac, and it's like Scarlet Spider and Gargoyle and Frogman, who I thought was terrific.
Mm-hmm. This is the best day of my life, he says.
And then Misty Knight. So I guess Misty Knight's purpose is like she's like the least, you know, you have one competent person in the group.
All right.
You know, like, why am I with these idiots?
And she hates Tony Stark.
Right. So I guess that's why.
Yeah.
But they all die, so it doesn't matter. They're not dead. Yeah.
No, they're not dead. They're not dead.
But I liked Frog. He was just like way in over his head, but very excited about it. And
I love that attitude. You got to give him. That was like me on the JV basketball team.
Guys, Hellcat's gone. Like he's just like his giant frog head.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's a thing that's been happening. You got, you know, Roger in Spider-Man. He had the porcupine, and just always one right. silly animal character. This isn't specifically here, but I think it's kind of a bummer that the Doctor Doom book ended while we weren't doing the show.
Mm-hmm. It was a good ending.
Yeah, it was basically. So go make sure you finish that book and read it out. It's kind of a heartbreaker, but it's also.
I was so happy Kang showed up, though. I was like, Kang going to show up? Yes, he did.
A little bit of smug shit.
So I wasn't actually going to talk about crossover number 3 originally, but it was worth mentioning. Donny Cates, Jeff Shaw, this is Image Comics. We talked about every issue so far. Josh is out. He was out after the first issue.
I didn't go this back. I still have the two, but I haven't done it.
This is the story of. What if comic book characters appeared to the real world and all the havoc that ensues? It's very meta. Issue 3 is way less meta than 2. 2 was super meta with all the comic creators in it, or at least being mentioned in it. And so the question for this book has been, if we have this situation where the real superhero characters or real comic characters are in this world, and there's, you know, references to Superman and such, what is he going to do? And so here we kind of get the answer to that question in which, and I'm not going to spoil it because I know a lot of people are reading it, even though I gave you the warning. Several characters from indie comics of various fame show up. So there's some crossover. They're not necessarily Image Comics characters. So I don't think he's going to get to show Batman, but there are other characters here from other comics that show up or make appearances in any way. And so that was interesting. There's enough interesting in this book every time so far, and not the least of which is the terrific Jeff Shaw art, to keep me going. I don't love it, but I find it interesting.
Do you enjoy it?
Or yeah, I enjoy it.
Huh.
It's both. I don't dislike it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't read it. Okay. But I don't love it. Yeah. You know what I mean? When it comes out, I don't go, oh, awesome. But I do go, interesting. I wonder what he's going to do this time. And it doesn't mean he's going to continue. There's a lot of books where I find interesting for the first 3 or 4 issues and then I drop. Okay. But for now, this interesting element here was that there's a character. So, and some of these characters I had not heard of, but he editors notes them, and then there's some stuff in the back. I was like, I guess those are characters. And then there's another one at the end who I definitely know. I was like, oh, interesting. So that was interesting. We'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah, we're flying through these books. This is really,
there's a lot of books this week.
Yeah. Eternals number one. I assume this was supposed to coincide with the movie, and they're just like, yeah. Put the book out. Kieran Gillen and Esad Rabiq. And it's funny, I think Esad Rabiq has become like the event guy, at least for certain types of Marvel comics, which I think is kind of interesting. You know, Thor kind of
for made your, you know, your god books.
Yeah. Thor kind of made him a star, and now he's at the top of that heap. And I think it works really well. Mm-hmm. I don't know
There's
anything.
Gravitas to his work.
This is one of those Jack Kirby creations that I don't actually know a lot about. I've seen them sort of show up in books here and there. I feel like I'm seeing John Romita Jr. draw these characters in my head.
Yes, so the last time I read an Eternals comic was when Gaiman and Romita Jr. did that book.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a long time ago. I know zero about the Eternals.
Yeah.
And I still know zero about the Eternals after having read this issue.
I thought that it gave me a pretty good idea of what the structure of their whole thing is, if not their specific characters. I felt, having read the New Gods book that we talked about last year, I could see themes. Mm-hmm. I could see, motifs that he's sort of going back to, but with a different sort of flavor as he came up with this sort of part of it. I don't know that I liked it. I had kind of, I'm not going to say I had fun reading it, but I found it was compelling. I would have liked a little more in terms of finding a character that I have any real connection with. Our main character in this is Icarus, who's like, kind of like they're Orion, I guess is close to come, but like they go over and over the fact, like he has no sense of humor. He's very literal. He's kind of annoyed by everything. And it's not, there's very little charm in this book. I suppose.
It's very heavy. Someone on the Patreon Discord described it as hard sci-fi. It felt very much like that, where it was like,
yeah,
very, everything's got a lot of weight to it. There's not a lot of humor. Everything feels very important or impactful. And I just, I was exhausted reading it, and I'm not, it wasn't badly done.
That's the thing. Like I didn't mind it. I got to the end and I was like, okay, I want to read the next part, but I think there needed to be a little more of a personality hook. I think the concepts were great. I like this idea that they keep basically reincarnating and the sort of, there's the science. It's like gods, but with science.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, which is,
yes,
Marvel's whole thing.
The sort of team up of this character Sprite, who is a girl but is not drawn like one, so I found that very confusing for a little bit. And Icarus is kind of, good cop, bad cop, or whatever it is, odd couple kind of thing, which is kind of interesting. It had some good moments. I thought it's funny because when we're talking about Kieran Gillen, I think a lot of the things about his writing that I don't like would have made this book worse, but I didn't see that there. I thought, the guy's really built up a skill set over the years. But I didn't love it. I was compelled and I wasn't bored. I didn't really have a hard time getting through it, which is good, because last night at about 1 a.m. I realized I hadn't read it. So I did that, but I enjoyed it, but it wasn't very fun.
Yeah, I would say not very fun. I didn't dislike it. I didn't know if I don't know that I enjoyed it. I probably will give it another issue simply for Esad Rabiq. But
I mean, he really showed up, especially whenever he does a wide shot. It's something to behold. Yeah. These characters have weird faces, and I don't know if that's on purpose. Did you notice that? Like Icarus doesn't look like your handsome blonde superhero that we're used to seeing, and the sort of face on Sprite. I don't know why this supposedly young girl has such a receding hairline. I kept thinking that was Mitch's Pitlick.
I had the IMDb open, and so every time a character showed up, I was like, okay, so that's that actor.
Okay. That might have helped.
Just because, so all the major characters here are in the movie. So
who are we who are we casting here? Who's Icarus?
Icarus is one of the Stark kids, the one who died at the Red Wedding.
Rob Stark.
Rob Stark. Getting It Together, number four, ended the show, I guess the story. And I don't know that it didn't need one more issue.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Interesting.
I think as a four-issue miniseries, it introduced us to some people. We spent a little time with their conflict. They resolved their conflict, and now they're ready to move on to the next step. I think another issue would start another chapter.
And I feel like everything moved very quickly in this book.
Which is fine, because I was confused about a lot of it. I think it was, to me, I think it was about the right... It was about the right... I think what's interesting is I was confused about a lot of it, and there were bits where, like, I'm not sure which character I'm looking at here. And after this much time, that's hard, but we know how that works with books about real people, and, you know, the art was great, but it wasn't...
Well, there's two different artists working here, so... Right.
But it wasn't necessarily so good that it was not a challenge to get around those
problems
of drawing, you know, regular people in books. I really liked... I liked that there was conflict resolution, like the people figured out a way to get out of it and move on. You know, that's a nice way to end a story. And then the Lauren, the sort of, I don't want to say main character, but I guess she's as close as we get to one.
Yeah, I think she is.
She, you know, gets this opportunity in LA to play a show, and she has no songs. And, you know, there's a whole thing about, you know, the artistic process and how to write a song and go through everything. I thought it was really well done. And I thought that there was some, if there was an experience in it, there was really nice intuition in it, I think, in mm-hmm. how they did that part, and I really enjoyed reading it. You know, and I thought I've often liked, you know, I read rock memoirs and documentaries and stuff like that all the time, and I thought that this really captured a type of sort of lower end of sort of the songwriting process or being a musician. I thought it was pretty good. If not a little romanticized, but you know, it was fun. I always like books like this, and I think I stayed in it. I think we were in it just long enough. I don't think it needed to be anymore. What did you feel was lacking?
Well, like I said, I don't know that we got enough of the character. Like, so this is four issues. I think the first two were more focused on her brother. Yeah. And then we switched over to her. And I don't know that we know enough about her. And I feel like she wrote an entire set in like 2 days. And I don't know.
Five. Maybe that. She used her old kids' songs, which was the thing that inspired her to go do the thing in the first place. And then I think that right. What it was is she decided, hey, there actually is something here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was a little bit where she's like, I've got it. I'll play it for my friends. And the friends are like, those lyrics are terrible. And she's like, okay, we'll go back and fix it. Yeah, I like that part.
It's all right. It's all right.
That's okay. I think
it's my least favorite issue, which I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah. I think as a little mini series about a thing that we don't get mini series about anymore.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I would see a new issue, and I would look forward to it, you know, to spend time with more or less real characters and see a bit of a world that I don't normally see without being creepy about it. Meaning, like, sometimes if I were to watch a TV show about these same kinds of characters, I would think, I shouldn't be watching this. This is, I don't know what this is. But in the comic book form, I think there's like an anthropological aspect to sort of seeing, like, well, what's this life? And I like how it's done in comics because it's so personal and it has a voice and a feel mm-hmm. that, like, actors don't necessarily convey, if that makes any sense.
See, I'd rather watch this story than this TV show.
Fair enough.
I mean, I like reading it as a comic, and I like, we talked about this before, I like that this comic exists, and there should be more of these kind of comics by the major publishers, especially by Image. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, I think it's easier to grab on. When you only have four issues, it's easier to grab onto an actor for me than it is for the drawing of a person if you only have four issues of something.
Fair enough. That's fair. So let's talk about these other shows that we do. Mm-hmm. People might say, oh, you know, some people say, oh, I really like the Booksplodes. And others say, I really like the Talksplodes. And some people might say, those Mediasplodes are good. And yet others might say, I don't know, whatever. But the point is, if you like any of those things, then you have the patrons to thank. If you go to patreon.com/ifanboy, then you can find a way to support the show in that way. But here's the thing. These are not necessarily constants. So mm-hmm. if you like the Mediasplodes, also the YouTube show is getting put up We're a result of that. We'll probably keep doing that.
We will for a while. We will. Yeah.
But we are in danger, folks.
Much like democracy must be protected, so must have been, so much these shows. We're on the cusp of not doing the media disclose anymore. So just FYI, in terms of
we might just do them on our own and not record them, and you'll just have to live with that.
Right.
But listen. This isn't to say that if there has been, you know, patron attrition because of an unprecedented world event, this is not a guilty thing. This is not feel bad. If you're out there like, oh man, I couldn't keep doing it. We totally get it. It's fine. Yeah. But if you weren't sure if that was a thing you wanted to do and that's important to you, then this would be the time to kick in, is what I'm saying. If you can, if you're comfortable with it, if you want to, we really appreciate it. This is really, you know, for us, it's really good, obviously. But, you know, in general, at this time of, oh, Jesus.
At this time of economic uncertainty.
But seriously, at this time of economic uncertainty, if you can find a way to support the things that really help you feel better, I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about the other shows, you know, the whichever you're listening to or taking in. If you can support the creators doing that stuff, it's a really important time to do that for them and for you to sort of say, well, this is the stake in the ground. This is the thing that I really do find important that helps me get through this really hard time. If we're one of those things, great. And if not, I'm going off on a tangent here, but either way, thanks for everyone who did it, but we will stop doing them if we're not above that threshold, because time is money.
They are stretch goals for a reason.
It's true. Ignoring that stretch goal, then it seems to be we're a bit away from, but the next stretch goal would be maybe doing a G.I. Joe show, a regular G.I. Joe cartoon episode show, which I think is, you know what I am? It's fun for everyone. Even if you don't like it, it's fun for you. We said so. And then there's further ones in there, but they're very far off in the future. There's also iFanboy Patron Facebook group that exists and the iFanboy Patron Discord server. I am not on the Facebook, but I have Discord and I always forget that it's there. And every time I sign on, I think, what an awesome place that sort of recaptures the best times of this thing that we do in terms of community. Yeah. I think that it really is going to be, I think that's one of those hidden gems of this whole thing that it, you know, like, geez, I miss chatting with folks. You know, it's fairly normal to think, like, if you listen to this show, you probably have a certain take on comics and this community and everything. And you're going to find like-minded folks to chat with there. And I think that outside of the confines of social media, it's a really nice space for that kind of thing. And it's really like fun and some more supportive little community, and I don't avoid it because I don't like it. I just kind of forget that that's a thing, and every time I sign on, I think, "Oh, this is great," and then I have to turn it off because I waste my day. So those are really good communities, and we just try to get there. That's patreon.com/ifanboy. Thank you endlessly to everybody who is part of that or has been part of that. If you've been thinking about it and you can, great time for it. That's all. iFanboyThreadless.com. You can get stuff, because there's one thing that you can do in this world is get some stuff and feel better stuff for a little bit. There's my serotonin hit because the big brown truck pulled up outside. And pretty soon all of that shipping logistics stuff is going to be owned by Amazon. So
isn't it a dopamine hit?
Whatever. I don't remember. I don't know.
You get real sleepy when you...
I know that the pills that I take help. And so does getting shit in the mail.
I'm not a doctor. I could be totally wrong. Not a doctor.
No, it's serotonin. Serotonin reuptake inhibitor. That's the, okay, the thing. Make sure that you've had enough. Dopamine hit is something to do with it. You're right. I'm not a doctor. There are 8 t-shirt and sweatshirt and 3/4 length baseball shirt and phone cases and shower curtains and regular curtains and bath mats and all sorts of stuff you can get made out of those designs. I believe they are very nice designs and they're very fun. And it's sort of like an inside joke that you're always going to be part of when you're wearing it. And if you don't like explaining an inside joke, just put a sweatshirt over it. You'll know inside that you're doing a thing. There's finally ifanboy.com/support, where there's a direct donation via PayPal link if you don't want to deal with any of that other stuff or subscriptions or any of that stuff. You can go there. ifanboy.com/Amazon would be where you can have more stuff taken to your house so that you can just break the endless monotony and just think, oh man, maybe that thing would be good. And it'll come and you'll say, this is good. And then you'll put it in the pile of other stuff and forget about it. And you can just keep doing that
right
endlessly. It's probably not good for the planet, but it's good for your soul at the time. So what do you want to do? You can go to ifimo.com/Amazon. You will find a general link to buy your things, in which we get a little cut of that. It adds nothing to you. It's just taking some of the away from the man. And then there's links to buy all the books on Booksplode, and every iFanboy pick of the week has a link to that book of the week, and therefore that would get you in to where you needed to be. Let's move along. Thank you to everybody who has helped with that stuff in any way. You are the best, and we appreciate
Let's jump into the deep end here of DC Comics.
I am gonna drink my coffee for a little bit, and I'll be here.
Before I do any of this, and it's not going to be long, did you read any of these books that are on this list right now?
My attorney has has advised me to not answer the following question on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
All right. Well, before we get into the future state stuff, so Dark Knight's, it all happens. It all starts with Dark Knight's Death Knight's Metal. Which one is it? I know I wrote the script, but I don't think I did it right.
I don't know.
It's Dark Knight's Death Metal, not metal. I don't know why I missed the word. The final issue of Dark Knight's Death Metal, number 7, by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo, Yannick Paquetta, and Brian Hitch. And I believe this is Capullo's swan song to Batman-based stories. I believe he's done. Which has been 11 years.
Or really?
What year is it? It's 10 years. It's been 10 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I have been skimming these issues because ever since the news came out, you know, all the backstory in DC Comics, which we'll get to a future state. When they became clear that Death Metal somehow was becoming the focal point of the new DC universe, I was like, oh, I better at least know what's going on here. So I've been skimming. It's all been gobbledygook to me. But the important part here is at the very end, I guess, and I'm going to attempt to explain what happens, even though I don't really know what's going on at all. You know, they're all fighting the Batman Who Laughs and his dark multiverse. So it's all the dark versions of the characters. They're all in this giant battle. And you know, it's like the final battle of the DC universe. You know, we've talked about this before. Wonder Woman appears to sacrifice herself. And then a cosmic being who appears to her as the Golden Age Wonder Woman basically says, let's just restart the multiverse. Let's just go back and restart it all. We've lost our way. You've all lost your way. We'll use your memories and your Wonder Woman-ness as the inspiration for the new multiverse. And we'll go off. And they sort of walk off hand in hand into the light. And then we cut to, you know, sort of more of a classic looking DC universe than the metal version. And I guess that's the one that's coming in Infinite Frontier, whatever it's called.
These are not questions that you should direct to me in any way.
And we also get a page here of Future State. And basically the idea here is they're going back to the old, and I say old, and it's terrifying, the old Grant Morrison, Mark Waid concept of hypertime, in which everything happened and everything matters, which is the opposite of nothing makes sense, nothing matters, but really it's not.
Exactly. Like, it sounds like it is, but it actually really bolsters the initial concept that is on our T-shirt.
I believe that the idea of going forward for DC is that, that would be a really dumb thing to say because I don't think anyone knows what's going forward for DC. But right now it's that hypertime is the thing. It's like all these stories happen. They all make sense. They all happened in the time. You know, they all happen. They all matter. All the comics have come out. So the important thing is Dark Knight Death Metal number 7 ended the New 52 officially. It's officially over. We're moving forward into this new realm. Now, brief foray into the side in a book called Generations Shattered that I almost made pick of the week. And it would have been very much like that Justice League Endless Winter pick I had, which I ended up enjoying that whole story.
Yes, totally.
This is from the pages of Dark Knight's Death Metal. And it was referenced back in Detective Comics 1027. This is a very much a Avengers Forever story. Do you remember Avengers Forever?
Of course I do.
Terrific Kurt Busiek story
Pacheco?
Yep, in which Avengers from various points in time come together to form a team to fight Kang. Let's talk about that. Let's make that a Booksplode.
Yeah, to mark that down. Yeah, just your description of it. I was like, that sounds like the best book ever. And I think the fact is, like, I read that when I was much younger. Like, now, yeah. I bet I'd love it.
Let's make that a book's blood. Right there. Make a note. Johnson, write that down. Here in the future, Kamandi it's basically kind of like another crisis situation. There's like a white wave, and this is sort of, I guess, the ending of death metal, you know, wiping the timeline clean. But Kamandi, with the help of Skeets, because he runs into an old man Booster Gold in the future, goes through time to collect heroes to fight some thing. And he gets like 1939 Batman, and he gets Superboy from the Legion of Superhero days, and he gets Starfire from the New Teen Titans, and so he gets sort of this, and Steel from the 90s. So all these characters sort of from the greatest hits of DC, and we go through the time and we meet, you know, see them all. You know, we see the original non-New 52 revisionist history versions. We see the original versions. We see when he goes to get Starfire, they're fighting Terminator, which is Deathstroke's original name. And there was a while he was called Terminator, then he was Deathstroke Terminator, and then just Deathstroke when they, I think, probably lost the rights of the name to the movie people. But Adam Strange and the original Sinestro when he was a Green Lantern. So it's all these DC greatest hits. And it was really fun. Your old buddy Andy Schmidt was one of the writers on it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dan Jurgens, Robert Venditti, you know, it's one of those things that DC's been doing where they get like an all-star group of artists to do a couple of pages each. So Ivan Reis and Yannick Paquette, Kevin Nolan, Dan Jurgens, John Romita Jr., Doug Braithwaite, Rags Morales, Mike Perkins, Aaron Lopresti, like a lot of good artists. And it was a lot of fun, even if it was like this weird offshoot, I don't know exactly why they're doing, of, you know, death metal, but... It was this fun little side story, which you don't have to worry about too much. And it's again, very much like Avengers Forever. It's not over. It's not a one-shot. It I guess there's another issue coming in which they're fighting some cosmic being for some reason. It doesn't really matter why. No. It's just fun. Okay. Future State. You didn't read any Future State books.
I read one. Read the Wonder Woman one because I liked the names on it, but I barely made it through that one. So that was my deal. Like, all right. If this one's okay, then we will keep moving. And I was like, nah, it looks great, but I had no idea.
So let me try to explain really quickly what that. Future State is. So if you recall, there was a plan that leaked out about a year ago that they were going to age forward the DC universe. They were going to age out all the characters that built the DC universe, built the comics industry, and replace them with young, hip, new, cool versions of them, of the characters.
And that was 5G.
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 That was Dan DiDio's plan. Get rid of all the characters that made the place, replace them with cool, young, hip kids. Then Dan DiDio got fired. And then that plan got scuttled. And so instead of 5G, now we're getting Infinite Frontier, which is whatever's coming after Future State.
According to the name, it could be anything.
I keep saying Infinite Frontier, that may or may not be correct. So here, what we seem to have is, hey, we paid for this work. Let's just put it out. So this is like a two-month thing where it's sort of like a bunch of possible Elseworld stories of the future that may or may not happen because no future stories ever happen.
And this was supposed to be everything, right?
This was going to be the new DC universe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It would have gotten me off of DC books. That's my spoiler warning for my reaction to all these books.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, DiDio seems... Anyway.
So, look, some of these things may catch on. You know, like the Wonder Woman you read, they're developing her as a TV show character, so she probably will show up in the books. In fact, she's in the promotional materials for Infinite Frontier, probably as a new Wonder Girl. I'm sure if John really wants to keep writing his new Batman, they'll give him a... Black Label book, you know, some of these concepts will continue on. Some of them are just the characters we know now, so it doesn't really change anything. But for the most part, I read all the Future State books, and for the most part, they were not great. So I'm really glad this is not the new face of the DC universe. I'll just go very quickly through them. Future State: The Flash by Brandon Venditti and Dale Eaglesham. This is, you can feel like the last vestige of Dan DiDio, because in this book, Wally West is like a psychopathic killer, And so I was like, wow, just Danadio kicking it one more time on the way out the door. I guess in the future, none of the Flashes have the Speed Force anymore. So they've all got they all use the Flash's rogues weapons. Like the Flash has the Baryon has the cold gun, and he's with Max Mercury and Jay Garrick and Avery, the purple one. And then Wally West kills Jay Garrick, and I was like, all right, enough of you. Future State Harley Quinn. The only reason I read this one was Stephanie Phillips wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
And Simone DiMeo's art was good, but, you know, this is basically Harley Quinn as Hannibal Lecter, where she helps the cops, you know, track down other bad guys. And it's like, my feelings on Harley Quinn as good guy. So, didn't like that.
Keep trying.
Future State, the next Batman is... So two of these books were anthologies, which I think are going to keep going in some form in the new state of DC. There's going to be the return of the backup story, the second story. The next Batman had three stories. Batman by John Ridley and Nick Darrington. This was good. It was fine. It was in the future. They hint that Bruce Wayne's dead. He may or may not be dead. And this is one of the Fox boys is Batman. It's not... I think it's not Luke Fox. I think it's his younger brother.
Is when you say the future, is it like rocket ships or is it like 50?
No, it's just like a few years in the future.
Okay, so it's our world.
Yeah, it's still basically our world. Gotcha. So that it was a solid Batman story. There's a street gang of Bane guys, and they're all wearing the Lucha Libre mask.
Something happened to your storefront.
They're initiating two new members, and they have to kill somebody, and there's a whole thing. It was good. It was well written. It looked great. Nick Darrington's obviously terrific. The only thing is, I don't know that he's ever seen somebody swing a baseball bat before, because there's a whole scene where there's a guy having a conversation in a batting cage, and this is a really horrible baseball stance. He would never make contact.
Well, there's no source imagery for that.
but it looked great. I enjoyed the story, and then the second story was. The Outsiders, Brandon Thomas and Sumit Kumar. It was mostly about Katana, but there was a cool bit with Black Lightning. This was fine. It was good. And then there was an Arkham Knight story that was revealed at the end to be Paul Jenkins and someone named Jack Herbert. I never heard of an art. And I liked that one probably the least. It was basically like the Suicide Squad, but with the Arkham Asylum inmates. And no one needs to see Mr. Zazz being a good guy.
Nope.
No. So that was no good. Then Future State Superman of Metropolis had three stories. This was probably the most interesting book.
Who are all these people making these comics?
So the first story was Superman Supergirl with Sean Lewis and John Timms. John Timms has been drawing Young Justice with Bendis for the last year. And this was very strange. So, Clark is gone. They don't say, just like with Bruce, they don't say where he is. But Jonathan is Superman now. He doesn't have a cape. And something happens, and in order to protect Metropolis, he decides the best course of action is to bottle it like Kandor and take it away, which seems like a really un-Superman-like thing to do. And so there's a lot of conflict with Supergirl for that. Like she's like, you just bottled up Metropolis, and now it's in the Fortress of Solitude? And it's just, it was weird and un-Superman-like. I didn't like that bit. But I liked a lot the second and third story, which... featured Mr. Miracle, Shiloh Norman, written by Brendan Easton, with terrific art by Valentin Delandro. It was just a little Shiloh Norman, Mr. Miracle story. He was the second Mr. Miracle who was around in the 90s, who's not really been around since. I'm trying to think of who this art looks like, but it's really good. It's just a little Mr. Miracle story where he's protecting people from a robot. And then the third story was a Guardian story, written again by Sean Lewis, art by Coley Hamner and Michael Avon Oeming, which is just the Guardian in Metropolis with a sort of old bearded, burnt out Jimmy Olsen. Hmm. I like the story. It looked great. It was fun. I like the Guardian character.
The Guardian is a Simon and Kirby creation.
Yeah. So it was an interesting issue. And then Future State Swamp Thing by Ram V and Mike Perkins was good. Well written. Mike Perkins is actually really terrific for Swamp Thing. Because Mike Perkins' characters are all look weird, and Swamp Thing character, you know, so it really worked with the art.
What did Rom? Why do I know?
Ram V started at Indie Books, then he took over Catwoman.
Right. Okay.
And this was good.
Do we know it's not Ram 5?
I believe he's Indian.
Okay.
And it was good. I didn't love it, but it was good. I think it was the first one I read, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I mean, Swamp Thing is sort of eternal, right? It doesn't really matter where Swamp Thing lives in the world. And this is like, seems to be some future where he's created a bunch of swamp creatures, like a family or a community. It's hard to say. And then Future State Wonder Woman with Joelle Jones on story and art. I thought I was the one I was most looking forward to because of Joelle Jones.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really kind of slight.
I just didn't like, it didn't stick at all. Like I couldn't tell you a thing about it right now. I was like, this looks great. And it was like, there was an impetuous young woman. That's right.
So, yeah. So basically all these books threw you in the deep end. They didn't explain anything. It's all like basically Elseworlds future stories. Right. So it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter. And this seems to be a Latina Wonder Woman from the Amazon rainforest. That's your Amazon connection. Who kills a dragon and then goes to the underworld. And it was kind of funny that the underworld was like an airport, although that was felt very much like Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of funny.
But like, you know, having to just sort of check in. The little demon was funny, who was like the, you know, the gatekeeper.
But it's funny because like everything that you have mentioned, you could in all these could easily be tied to some other concept that was come up with before. It's all very like high concept pitch kind of things. And none of it felt terribly original. And then, I mean, just with this book, it could just, there was the connection to it being Wonder Woman was so slight that I was just like, why is this a wonder? Why is this called Wonder Woman?
Right.
And I think that one of the really interesting things is I feel like most of the line-wide change moves to all of these things is to make them more accessible to people in places, you know, so they can finally get new readers or whatever to come on or,
right.
And nothing of what you just said sounds like it would accomplish that. And nothing that I read, even though it was very slight, would accomplish that. And it seems like a remarkable sort of, it's like the Ultimate Universe, but way worse. And also, we're talking about a world in 2020, which is very different than the world in 2000, where literally everybody does know these characters now.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth would you do this?
Right. Well, luckily they're not doing it. This would have been a big problem. I mean, Marvel tried to do it like 5 years ago and it blew up in their faces. So, but the thing with DC now is, right. Well, the thing with DC now is none of the rules apply. None of the normal rules apply. You don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen. You know, in the past, we could have some sense of the people running these things at least adhere to the normal rules of comics, and we know what they're going to do. They're always going to reset. They're always going to bring the characters back. But who knows? You know, who knows what's going to happen in a year's time? There may be no DC comics coming out weekly anymore, or there may be a lot of DC comics coming out weekly. There's literally no way of knowing what's going to happen. So, I'm just glad that none of this is going to take place as the official continuity, because I would have probably been reading hardly any DC books.
Are you going to read any of these?
I might. I don't know that I'm going to continue on, but I might check in on the first issues. I'm not going to talk about all of them like I did now.
Yeah, but like, are there any number twos that you were going to? How many issues are it supposed to be? You said a couple of months. Is it just two issues of each one?
I think it's two or three. Okay. Well, you know, they're probably biweekly, mm-hmm. and I think it's for the next 2 months. So, the next 2 months. I think it's for this month and next month. So, I think there's three issues. I'll probably read the next issue of Batman. I'll probably read the next issue of Superman. Maybe Swamp Thing, maybe Wonder Woman, definitely not Harley Quinn, definitely not The Flash. But I don't know. We'll see. It's all game time decisions. I don't even know what's coming out next week, but you know, there'll be more. And I'll look. But I'm not going to go through all of them every time. It was the first week, and it was important to note what was happening. people were also confused what it was, because not everyone keeps up with what's going on. So it was going to be the new DC Universe. It is not anymore. It is basically now a 2-month Age of Apocalypse sort of event. Like, this could be a possible future of the DC Universe, mm-hmm. because we paid all these creators. We might as well make some money off this work.
Ugh.
So, yeah. Those are the books we wanted to talk about. Not a lot of books, not a lot of good stuff. We're already long. Let's talk about the Patreon pick, patreon.com/ifanboy. That's where you can go to add a book to the rundown. This week, the first week back of voting, huge turnout. Voting was up 30% this week.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
It's like Georgia.
When I woke up on Monday, enough people had voted by the time I woke up that we usually voted the entire week. So it was nice. It was fun to see.
Oh, wow.
And we're also in Star Wars corner because the patrons overwhelmingly voted for Star Wars, The High Republic number one, the new Star Wars book from Marvel, Kevin Scott, Ario Anandito, Mark Morales, Annalisa Leone, and Ariana Marr are the creative team behind this, I guess, a new high-profile Star Wars book in relation to some novels coming out.
I believe they're Charles Soule novels, but I'm not sure, and I will check.
I believe that's also true. Yes. So I was obviously not thrilled this was the pick of the week, the patron pick.
Because you've sworn off all ancillary comic
I just don't
book,
care.
Star Wars materials. You don't care, but also it's directly related to an event that when they killed Chewbacca off in a novel, and I think that was the point where you went, I'm not doing any of this.
I'm out.
And
I have a visceral memory of 210 Pennsylvania Avenue, Ithaca, New York. That's where I was living, in the bedroom, reading that novel, and he died, and I just tossed it into the corner, and I was like, I'm done. So.
And I think that's, I had a moment of that too, but mine was different, is that, and this is worth getting into, just a little.
But also, I read the first couple of issues of the Jason Aaron Star Wars book, and I was like, no, I don't want this. I don't want to see Luke Skywalker facing Darth Vader before Empire.
I think they figured that out to a certain extent, and they're keeping it. It's like, here's some of the other adventures that have taken place. All that aside, so what you've got here is you have, this is the Republic. I think it's 200 years before the events that take place in the movies.
The prequels.
So we have like the sort of the height of the Republic and the Jedi Order, you know, doing
what was that old
thing.
Video game that everyone loved?
The Knights of the Old Republic?
Right, yeah.
That was a great video game. And those all yeah, you played like that. I did. I played there was two of them, and they basically
I played it once.
Mass Effect.
I didn't understand the concept. It was basically World of Warcraft before World of Warcraft. So I didn't understand the concept of how to play a game like that. What I mean is, like, I didn't understand the concept of not having a button masher, where I was like, I didn't understand, you know, it took World of Warcraft to figure out, oh, you just press the attack button and then the guy attacks, not like I have to keep hitting the button to attack. So I remember distinctly being like, wait, what? And then I just stopped playing and never played it again.
It's about the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, this book was interesting for the fact that it was a different type of Star Wars book, meaning that it didn't really feel like Star Wars, but it had a lot of elements of Star Wars in it. And as a result of that, I didn't really find myself very, you know, pulled into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, like the thing that always seems to happen is that they say, well, what would this world have looked like? And that's fun. You can do that. And like, oh, so you've got a Jedi master and his Padawan, and there's a challenge that she has to do, but then things go wrong and she, I think it's a she, you know, solves some problem, but therefore, you know, didn't pass her test. But then we find out that because she did it, she passed her test. You know, that's the whole story. That's the issue.
She's a full Jedi Knight.
Right. You know, not that interesting.
And yeah, this is everything I don't want about Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, not that interesting in that...
Light and life. Like, I don't want big ceremonies of Jedi in robes holding up lightsaber. Like, I, you know, the mystery is much more interesting to me than then finding out it's kind of boring.
Well, also that, but I think that there is an element to Star Wars that recognizes that it is inherently a little bit silly. That's what a Han Solo does. That's what, right. You know, that's why C-3PO is silly.
Right.
Because we're supposed to recognize that. Now, I don't know if that was, I actually doubt that that was George Lucas's intention.
No, because
I think
not.
He took it all he's very literal. He took it all very seriously. I don't think he knew those were jokes. Like, you know what I mean? Like in that sense. And so reading this is just like, this is basically just reading like a fantasy book that isn't great, that has elements of Star Wars in it.
Yeah, and then Yoda showed up. I was wondering if he was going to show up because of the timeline. I was like, well, sure. He would be alive here. And then he walked in. I was like, okay.
But if you took Star Wars out of this and you had this released over at Boom or IDW, I would have taken a look at it and been like, it was okay. You know, like, but it, you know, there was nothing terribly grabbing about it. The only grab to it is the Star Wars element. And it's like the most, like the, not the things about Star Wars that are good. Giving somebody a lightsaber doesn't make something Star Wars. Right.
When she uses the lightsaber when she's falling off that giant thing and she sticks the lightsaber in to sort of anchor herself, wouldn't it keep going?
Yes, it would.
Because it's a lightsaber?
Yes.
And it's not whatever fucking magic Mandalorian armor that he wears. Like it would keep cutting.
Well, okay. Think about in episode one where they're...
No,
they're,
I refuse.
I know, but just work with me here. That's the one. I know you remember it. So when
I hated that, by the way, even at the time when they were cutting that door, I hated that.
Right, but they had to force their way through it to a certain extent. Like
I didn't like that at all.
Put pressure on it. What did you not like about that?
I didn't like that it took away the magic of the sword. It suddenly became like a heat thing, you know, like it was like a hot. It made the metal hot, and they had to really like. I like this. It was this magic sword that cut through everything.
I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I like that. I like the idea of using it as a tool to do other things.
Yeah,
and that that's not my
Star Wars.
There were certain elements of it that it would work for, and not other. I like the limitations and the idea. Anyway, either way, they had to use force to push force. They had to use force to push
strength
through it, right? And so it's not as if it would have just gone through on its own without sort of motivating it. But I would think it doesn't take much strength. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, her body weight, who knows what the gravity is, whatever. I did hitch on that. I noticed that. I liked, here's the element I liked. I liked those little things that were bugging her. Those
little creatures.
Those little bug things. And they're like, hey, come over here. Not helping. And she was a little, like that was at least in the area of Star Wars things. You know, that's Luke Skywalker getting annoyed by Yoda.
Sure.
I think part of the problem was, you know, for Light and Life was, you know, like, all right, whatever. This is, it didn't look particularly Star Wars.
No,
like
it
didn't. The costume designs and everything. Again, they felt more like a B grade fantasy comic.
And I get that's 200 years before costumes we know, but still, it didn't have any iconography that really fit Star Wars other than the lightsabers. And,
I think that's it.
I mean, this was fine. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't dislike it. I read it. It was okay. The art was fine. It wasn't like spectacular, but it did its job. The storytelling was good. The writing was fine. It was all fine.
Yeah.
Which is all my reaction to all these books whenever I'm made to read them. It's fine. It's just not what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I'll go watch Star Wars again.
Yeah. I mean, I think in order to rise above this kind of thing and make it stand out, it really does have to. It's a very high bar. I think it just needs to be spectacular to do that. And so I think we hit that a couple of times. I think the Dr. Aphra books and the Darth Vader books that Kieran Gillen was working on for a little while were really something special.
For me, when Star Wars is too shiny, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, like The Mandalorian's dirty. The Mandalorian's dirty. Nothing works, you know.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Well, the great thing about Star Wars in the beginning was it was a different take on sci-fi. And again, I know it's not sci-fi, pure sci-fi, but you know, the ships were broken down and dirty.
Bang on the dashboard and it starts.
Clothes
up.
Were dirty and it felt lived in and real as opposed to, and then the prequels were just so shiny, partially because the thing was real, but like it's just less interesting when everyone's in robes and it's shiny and citadels and
form.
Give me like Tatooine, you know, that guy's armor's all dusty and dirty and dented and scratched. That, you know, that's the Star Wars that I respond to. Mm-hmm. So this kind of Star Wars I don't respond to. It's partially why I don't care about the cartoons.
Yeah.
It's fine. This felt very much like watching the cartoons.
I do think that we have reached a point in Star Wars, though, where, like, everybody's going to get a little of the thing that they want.
No, that's the beauty of it. And that's what we talked about with The Last Jedi, is that I may not have liked it, but a lot of people did, and that's great.
And I think that the idea that somebody, I mean, certainly we, are going to like anything that says Star Wars just because it says Star Wars is, you know, that's not true. But maybe if you can find your corner of it and your flavor of it, you know, like, thank goodness for The Mandalorian. That probably saved Star Wars for me, you know, in a real way.
I'm not saying this book shouldn't exist. I'm glad it does, and I'm glad people presumably enjoy it.
It'd be interesting to hear, not for very long, but it'd be interesting to hear from somebody who, like, really likes this kind of thing, but, like, from a point of view of, like, to say what's really good about it for somebody that likes this genre. You know what I mean? Again, not for very long. I don't want to hear a whole thing, but, you know, as opposed to, no, it's
not as good.
I know. Well, you know, the element that I think they go on a lot is that people go, Star Wars is cool. Like, and that's all that anybody wants out of it, which is, it's not my way of going. Like, no, you still have to make it interesting. But maybe if you do like this genre, you're like, no, it's pretty bland. I'd be curious about that. So comment on the show or in Discord or something like that. Let us know what you think.
Or wherever the many hundred places you now comment at us.
Yeah, but I won't see it.
So ratings on ratings. Star Wars, the High Republic ratings out of 5, 2.5, right down the middle.
2.75.
Are you sticking with it? No. You're reading the Star Wars books?
No.
All right.
Nothing to grab onto. Felt exactly the same as when I read the Wonder Woman book. Exactly the same.
Patreon.com/iFanboy. That's where you can go. You can join, and every patron can add a book to the rundown at no matter what level you're at. But if you're at the $5 or higher level, you get thanked on the show via patron powers live. Josh, did you prepare over this? I assume over the break you had a notebook and you were just writing down furiously patron powers as you thought of them.
Basically, the 26th through the 29th were a fugue state of powers. My family were banging on the doors. And at the end, yeah, it was like, you know, the journals that Kevin Spacey had in Seven.
Right.
Without just incomprehensibly small handwriting, just full of his
plums for fingers.
No.
Yeah.
John Van Atta's power is that if he is presented with a question or a problem or a challenge that he is in no way prepared for, he instantly comes out with the perfect answer, seemingly from within.
I see.
So, you know, he's in class, he's daydreaming, they call on him, you know, talk to me about the Pythagorean theorem. And he'll just say it, not unlike Will Ferrell in the debate scene in Old School.
So he goes into a fugue state.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes knowledge fugue state.
Honestly, no one said it yet, but I resent the notion that I thought of this because I didn't have something prepared for this. I resent it.
Is his name the fugue?
It could be. Although that seems to conjure another image, I think.
Isn't that a dance?
Like, the fugue doesn't necessarily indicate productivity.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'd have to think about what that is.
All right. Michael Searles. Searles?
Searles.
Searles?
Yes.
Searles, Searles or Searles?
It's
Searles. We are about to be a Searles-less society. Searles. Not yet.
eBay now, right?
Michael always has exact change. So no matter what you need, he just has it.
You made me think of my absolute favorite Saturday Night Live fake ad
of all time. If you need 4 quarters, 2 nickels, a dime, 3 pennies, he's got it.
If you come in needing 52 cents and you want 5 dimes and 2 pennies from that, we can do that. We can make change. Do you remember who the guest host was that week?
I don't, but I just remember it's Michael Downey is the main guy in that.
It was Jim Downey.
Jim Downey, sketch. I'm sorry. Let's look at Michael's name.
Roseanne Barr. Was on that show. She was in that sketch briefly. That's what we do. We make change.
It's the most brilliant thing they've ever done. And anyway, This is derailing the conversation about Michael, who always has that change. So if he's in a store and the total is $7.62, he's got that 62 cents right in his pocket.
So does Michael always pay with cash?
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have the 7, but he does have the 62.
Oh.
You know?
So change only extends to the decimal percentage, yes, of a full dollar amount. It's not, yeah.
But if you go to Michael and you're like, hey, I've got this $10 bill. Can you give me 14 dimes, 12 quarters, whatever? He'll have that too.
But not paper money.
No, just change.
Okay, further question. I know that the show is long, but there's things I need to know. One, is he just carrying an immense amount of coins at all times?
Whatever you need appears like, on his person.
Okay, so it's not like who's that man with the laden pants jangling about behind me?
A giant cargo pants.
Yeah, that's jangling. What I'm seeing. I can hear it in my head. Okay, because those, you know, the thing is, a lot of change, it'll pull your pants down. I remember that from my youth. I remember that much. Because I didn't have bills a lot, and I'd have to find all the change I could so I could go buy comics or something like that.
Sure.
And
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing that doesn't happen anymore with kids, like who like I collected all of this. You've done that, right? I collected all of this change to buy something and give it to an exasperated clerk.
Oh, you know that big giant. We're off the rails.
Yeah.
First show of the year. You remember that? You know the giant gray binder of all the who's who's that we did a couple of mini episodes. Yeah. I bought like 4 of those issues with change scrounged from my apartment. Because I was like, oh my God, I love this. I fought the first cut, like 1 or 2 with paper money, kids. And then I was like, oh, there's more. And I went back home and just like did a hard target search of the whole house, digging up pennies and quarters and nickels. And I went back.
There used to be a lot of change around.
Yeah. And I remember going back and just dumping change on the counter, like for the $3.99 or whatever it was for the. For the Huzu issue, the binder issue.
That's
yeah, I totally
excellent.
Did that.
This next question is not any good compared to that memory, but so if somebody else needs change, so say that he's behind somebody in line, they're at the Dunkin' Donuts, and the you know, it comes to 5:36 and the person only has 5 1/4. Is he showing up for that, or is this only for his own purchases?
I mean, if he feels like they need to help, then the change will appear.
He's got
as
that
needed.
7 cents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the change. He makes change.
That's what he does.
Oh, is that sketch online? I need to watch it right now.
Yeah. I mean, right, okay. Let's finish the show.
All right. Well, we can take a break.
Nope.
All right. So we're going to skip the audience question because we went long. But contact@ifanboy.com is where you can write in to get your email on the show. And we thank those who do. Once again, we... put every email from last year in a folder marked bankruptcy 2020, and we move on. Clean slate. So we got a couple over January, over the break. We got, you know, a handful of emails. So we have some ready to go, but
this is your time to cut through the chaff.
Oh yeah. No, if you email us in August last year, there's like hundreds of emails that you're competing against. But right now you're competing against only a handful. So if you want to get in the show, or if you sent in an email last year and we didn't get to it, this is your time to shine.
However, it's important to note that not all emails are equal or good.
No.
No.
That's fine.
Some, I don't think you've ever listened to the show. Some, you know, it's a format. Figure it out. Become a person.
Figure it out.
Start a bit. Imagine that. Your email becomes the thing that starts a bit. Rusty Auto Parts knows what I'm talking about.
Exactly. So let's talk about plugs. So things coming up in January. Our next patron hangout, which is a feature the patrons get to use, we opened it up to everybody last year because of the pandemic. I realize the pandemic is still going on, but we're closing it back down to just the patrons again. It's a patron feature. It's a perk for the patrons. So
until our federal relief money comes through, we can no longer.
The monthly patron hangout is going back to patrons only, and the next one will be January 16th at Saturday. The official hangout starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, but the pre-show happy hour, which we're going to continue doing, starts at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And so come hang out with us if you're a patron. If you want to hang out with us and you were doing it before and you want to keep doing it and you're not a patron, you can join up at the minimum level. Any patron can hang out with us. So check it out, patreon.com/ifanboy.
I'm Josh Flanagan, and I owe you a Talksplode in January. I've got a list. I'm thinking about it. I've not forgotten about it like what happened in many months. We had Christopher Cantwell in December. It was supposed to be November, so that's why we're not skipping a month. But I'm working on it. We'll see who it is. I'll be as surprised as you, but that is a thing.
And in February, we're going to have our next Booksplode. That's our graphic novel review show that the patrons unlocked. They also unlocked Talksplode. And we are going to do the next Booksplode book is Jack Kirby by Tom Scioli, which Josh and I both received for Christmas. So we're going to do that one. I haven't started reading yet. I'm going to start reading it this week.
I bought it before Christmas.
Oh, I thought you got it for Christmas.
No, I bought it. I gave it to you and Ron.
Oh, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
I thought Ron gave it to you and me.
No, I bought it as soon as I saw it, I bought it. Like, I was like, all right, getting that here. The Epic Life of the King of Comics. It is I didn't quite know what it was. It looks like sort of an anime Jack Kirby on the front, but it's actually, that belies the style that the book is
in. It's almost a chibi Jack Kirby.
Yeah, but the book doesn't feel like that at all.
No, I looked through it. It's not at all like that. It looks like Tom Scioli's art.
And it is... It's done as an autobiography because I believe it uses his own words from interviews and stuff that were brought in over time. You should get it. You should get it and then listen to the show, or just get it and don't listen to the show. But I'm telling you that much.
And it's not in the script. I do want to mention that over the break, we did an emergency Wonder Woman 1984 podcast. Me and Ryan Haupt and Ron Richards got together to talk about it. So that's on the feed behind this show. We forgot that was coming out when we closed out the year, but we reconvened during the break and talked about it. So if you want to hear that show, it's on the feed behind this one.
And get over to ifanboy.com. You can find all of our shows and our vast history of comic book writing from many talented writers over the years. You can go to facebook.com/ifanboy and follow @ifanboy on Twitter and @ifanboycomics on Instagram, where you can find the pick of the week before the show comes out. Did you manage to find any panels this week at all?
A couple.
Okay. I found one. It was like that. You can follow us individually. We're only on Instagram these days, at C.S. Kilpatrick and at J.A. Flanagan. That naming format, completely coincidental, by the way. See, before we could get, like early on, we could get part of our names.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like that was the way to go. Now you just have to be like, Flapjack Samurai 62. Like, that's what you have to be now. Because you can't get your name anymore because it's out of control. You can subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/ifanboy. And if you happen to be the user FlapjackSamurai62, that's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
You can keep up to date on the old video show re-uploads. I really am loving the fact that they're there now because I will explain something. I had a coworker, Patrick, who listens, I don't know, regularly, but I was he just moved to New York and I was like, we did this show where we drove around New York and went to places. I was like, this would be really useful to you. But it was before we had uploaded it. So I was like, when I see it again, and I was able to give it to him. So that was nice. This past week, apparently, I reviewed We Three in an iFanboy Mini. That comic book made me cry, and it would do much worse now, I'm sure. We revisited Hellboy in time for Hellboy 2. Which was a thing that I forgot existed. And we did the top 5 Batman stories that were not The Dark Knight Returns, Year One, or Arkham Asylum. How did that hold up for you?
Good.
Still good stories?
Yeah. It was like Death in the Family and No Man's Land. Yeah.
No Man's Land was amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So that's
I don't remember the full list, but those were both on there.
That was youtube.com/ifanboy. Subscribe.
I'm just trying to be fair. I think they ended up being just my top 5 Batman stories.
Sure.
So I think it was like some.
Well,
of the
we had to we had to make a list. We had to go to, and so Ron wasn't going to be no good on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people were all pissed off that Long Halloween wasn't on there. I don't really love Long Halloween.
No,
it's fine.
Neither.
I like it. It's okay, but it's not one.
What's the next one? There's a follow up.
Dark Knight. Dark something.
Yeah. Wow. That's a
dark,
unique take on
dark.
It,
dark something.
Dark Victory.
Dark. I'm looking back behind me. I don't see it. Dark, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I don't dislike it. It's not on the top 5. I don't know why we're litigating this for, again, 8 years later. Oh, it's because it's my turn. If you like the show, write a review or leave a star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Wherever fine podcasts are sold, as Matt Gorley likes to say. Even better than that, tell your friends, your mom, your kids, your letter carrier. We had a kid and father bond over the show over the break.
Crazy.
Which
it,
was
it
both
was Dark
awesome
Victory, by the way.
Dark Victory. It was awesome and also terrifying that the kid discovered the show on his own and then his dad had to be like, I've been listening to the show longer than you've been alive.
Pompster, I believe.
Yeah.
Would be that person's username.
Maybe too young to listen, but whatever.
I have a 10-year-old son, and first of all, he would never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. But I thought, no, you shouldn't listen to that. But even if he did, like, I wouldn't even worry about it because he'd turn it off in moments. Like, I don't know what this shit, I don't know who these old people are.
They're not doing Minecraft. Why am I listening to this?
They're not at all.
The thing is, though, I was thinking about it as I said those words, but at that kid's age, 11, I was probably watching Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh, sure. No, I was, but this is a different world. Yeah. No, no, for sure. Because you'd mentioned, this is just going to go long. I'm sorry. We're having fun. Okay. I haven't talked to you in a while. You mentioned Police Academy the other day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yeah. And you were saying that was one of your favorites, and I was like, that was absolutely my favorite thing. And when I was,
I think this is a good media splow discussion. Is
yeah. Like 8, 9 or whatever though. And I remember like what year did 2 come out? Police Academy 2.
I don't know.
85, 86. That would have made me 9. And I went to see it in the theater. And you know, the image, like, this, listen.
Not appropriate.
Here we are. No, at the very beginning, they're on the beach, and there's a beach chase, and there's two ladies who are laying on their stomachs, and they stand up, and there's boobies. And I was just like, this is the greatest movie ever. And I saw that in the theater.
1985.
Yeah, so I was 9. No, 8. No, yeah, 8.
Yeah, you were 8.
I definitely saw Beverly Hills Cop in the movie.
You were just turned 8. You were March. It just came out in March.
Yeah. Absolutely, like, burned on my brain.
So whatever, listen to the show, who cares.
Sorry, one more bit. There's one more bit. Speaking of sons, so mm-hmm. I had this conversation with my 10-year-old who has never shown any interest in anything that I've, he's almost 11. I was explaining, like, this because he doesn't actually see the podcast, he doesn't know about it. I read my comics at night. I mean, there's comic books everywhere, but
it happens, he's just used completely to it. Outside of his purview.
Right, exactly. And I had said I kind of explained this. Well, it used to be my job. Like, I did this for a while. We did these video shows or whatever. And he goes, so were you, like, kind of famous? I was like, that's a very good way to describe it. I was vaguely, in a little bit of a way, among certain people, yes, a little bit well known. And I will tell you, I think in that one moment, he respected me a little bit more. Because he was able to say, oh, like the YouTubers. And I was, like, he didn't say it, but I could see that, anyway, it was a nice moment.
What you should have said was, I was one of the original YouTubers.
I know, but I didn't want to get into that whole thing because then it would have started ranting.
Then you'd have to admit to being a YouTuber, which we're not.
We technically wouldn't have been possible. We didn't put the show on YouTube for a while.
Yeah, but YouTube didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-tubers.
Yeah. That's us. Too early to take advantage.
So
Pioneer is like, it's like we hacked out the trail, and then afterwards Lewis and Clark were like, this way, guys.
We hacked out the trail, collapsed and died. A bunch of other people
walked over
our corpses and founded San Francisco, and now their families are all fucking super rich.
Yep.
And we're dead on some trail. It's not even a grave marker.
A footprint.
It was just a note in the story about how they stumbled for a second over something, and it was our bodies.
Phantasmic apparitions. That's us.
There you go. We're back.
That's it all thing. Okay. You're Connor. I'm Josh.
I'm Connor, yeah.
Stay safe out there, people. Like, really.
I'm very excited.